Today, guys, recognizing our need. You know, what's interesting is you go through the Gospels, most every subject that could possibly be covered will be covered. That's one thing about working through the Bible line by line, verse by verse. You don't miss anything. You don't miss a drop. And this particular section today, as we see Jesus going into this town, this leper coming up to the Lord, if there's ever somebody who had a need, it's this man. Now, everyone in this room right now has had a need in their life one time or another, or you will have needs in the future, or maybe right now, and probably right now, some of you in this room have great needs right now. And God's brought you here this morning because he doesn't want you just to sit in those needs and think, well, what do I do and what's my hope? No, God has brought you here because he wants you to know that he's going to meet that need. And God can and will touch you today to meet that need. Now, I don't know what the need is, but we all have different needs. And what we're going to really focus on today and what I believe the scripture brings out today is recognizing that need, knowing that the need is even there. Today, we look at a man who had leprosy. And you talk about somebody who recognized a need. What was leprosy like? We don't see leprosy much in our society. By the way, there's, my understanding, some over 5,000 people in America that have leprosy today. And over 10 million worldwide that have leprosy today. So leprosy is not something that is off the face of the map. Leprosy is just something that is very controlled now because we live in a modern world that understands ways to keep things from transmitting and passing and all these different kind of things. And so we don't see it as rampant as they did in the Middle East back in that day. But what did it mean to have leprosy? And what does it mean even today to have leprosy? Not as much as it did then, because today there are some things that slow the progress. There are some treatments. There's no cure, but there are some treatments. But in that day, no treatment. No cure, no treatment. What was leprosy like? Well, I jotted down some things to give you an idea. First of all, it was an incurable disease. Leprosy was a lot in their day, like AIDS is our day, except really a lot worse. You see, even as AIDS leads to death, leprosy led to death. But the thing about leprosy was a slower and more agonizing death. Now, those of you that have seen people die of AIDS, it's not something that you enjoy seeing. It's something that I have seen in the ministry. But typically what happens with that is the person is basically okay until the very last throes of life, and then things really turn the wrong direction. But guys, with leprosy, it was a gradual, day-by-day worsening of a condition that became more and more miserable as time went on. Worse than AIDS, I think, in many ways. And actually, in that day, it was the most loathsome and dreaded disease there was. You couldn't have a worse disease than AIDS. It's said that the priest had 61 divisions of what defiled you as a person in that day. And number 60 was, guess what? Leprosy. There was nothing worse than leprosy on their list of 61 except death. That was the next worst thing to have, besides leprosy, to be defiled. So get a picture of who this man was and what he was dealing with. It was extremely contagious. You had to live outside the city or community and be quarantined in a special environment. And this is interesting. It started out small. You wouldn't even recognize it at first. You would just see maybe a small little spot on your hand or somewhere on your body that'd be a small spot. You might think it was nothing, no big deal, don't worry about it. But as time went on, all of a sudden the spots would spread. And then the spots would begin to get worse. And then the spots would cover your entire body. And then you begin to break out in these leprous sores. So a gradual, progressive situation. Interesting, it attacked first the coldest parts of the body. The ears, the nose, the fingertips and the toes. That's why when you hear of lepers and see in the movies the lepers, they're missing their fingers, they're missing their ears. Sometimes their nose would literally drop off. It would just decay away in essence, because the disease would go to the coldest extremities where there's not the good blood flow, and they would eat away and just destroy the body. Gradually destroyed the nerve endings. So if you had your nerve endings would be numbed, and what would happen is you begin to lose your feeling. And so as you went to try to cook something on the oven, you'd put something on the oven and not even know your hand was touching the eye. And so it would burn you and just begin to destroy your body in all these different ways because you couldn't feel anything anymore. It took away the senses, if you will. Over time, you began to look very grotesque. As we said, if you lost your fingers and your nose and your ears, you can imagine what you look like. Not exactly something pleasant to look at. Your breath, it is said, would become abhorrent. And of course, they couldn't get near anyone. As a matter of fact, you had to stay at least 100 paces. There was an actual distance that was calculated that you had to stay away from other people. You were quarantined. And if anybody ever came near you, you had to yell out, unclean, unclean, to let them know that you were coming so you couldn't go near. And so nobody would want to be close enough to smell your breath anyway, but you could imagine how just loathsome you were to yourself. Your flesh began to stink. As it would rot and come off, you began to stink and have this stench about your body. You were rejected completely by the society. It's interesting, to the Jew, if you had leprosy, you were done. You were done. You were the living dead. You were alive, but you were completely ostracized. You could have no communication with your family. You could have no communication with the community. You had to stay outside. As a matter of fact, if you went to the priest, and you would go to the priest if you thought you had leprosy or were getting it to be examined, and we'll look at that in just a moment. If you went to the priest to be examined for leprosy, and you went there and you said, look, I've got this spot here I want you to look at. Would you check it out? Nerves going, the heart beating fast. You would show it to the priest, and he would say, all right, well, let's just quarantine you for a while. They'd put you away for a few days. And then you'd come back and show it to the priest again. And if it was worse, the priest would say, you've got leprosy. He said, you're kidding. What do you mean I've got leprosy? Guys, that was a death sentence. When you were told you had leprosy, you realized, I'm done. I've lost my job, my society. I'm outside of the community. I'm ostracized. I'm quarantined. As a matter of fact, leprosy in that day was seen as basically judgment of God. You were seen as being cursed of the Lord if you had this. So imagine the mindset. You're cursed of the Lord. God has turned his back on you. Man has turned his back on you. And you would say, could I go say bye to my wife? Can I go say bye to my kids? Sorry, you can't. Can't do it. The priest would say, no, you've got to stay right here. You can't even go see your family. Because if you go see your family, this disease is so contagious, it may spread to them. You're done. Death sentence. Yet while you still lived, you were considered, as I said, the living dead. Your life was over. You were done. Why do I say all that? Why do I give you all the background of leprosy? For this reason. That's where this man was today in today's story. He was a man who was completely ostracized by society. He was a man who was completely rejected by his own family, not because of choice, if he had a family, but because they had to. He was a man who was seen cursed of God and judged by God. He was a man who was lonely. Leprosy was said to give great depression. Lepers, even today, often commit suicide. Because there's no reason to live. You know there's no cure. There's nothing else for you. Why just slowly decay away? Why not just take your life? You can see the logic as to how the mind would go. And so they take their lives. Here's this man. And it's interesting, as we read the story, what did it say? He was in the advanced stages. This guy was not just a leper that had just begun to have leprosy. He was in the advanced stages. So this guy was a mess. Very possibly missing fingers, a nose. Missing his ears. Who knows? We don't know where he was in this whole thing. But here's what we do know. There was hope walking into his life today, because today Jesus was visiting his town. Now this morning, maybe there's some of you that feel like in some form and fashion a leper. I don't know what type of leprosy you feel like you might have. But you, like him, may feel very, very hopeless this morning. You have no hope. Oh, you're alive. But what is life? You're a Christian. You dare not tell your friends. If you tell them, they're going to think you're not spiritual. If you tell them, they're going to think you're a failure. If you tell them, they're going to say, what's wrong with you? Come on, you're supposed to have the joy of the Lord. Well, I know I'm supposed to have it, but I don't know what's going on right now. I just know it's not there. And I feel like that for whatever the reason, I feel hopeless. I feel like that maybe I've been abandoned for whatever the case might be. Listen, even as Jesus rode into that town that day, Jesus is here today. And the same touch that Jesus gave that man that was in desperate need, he's here to give you today. You simply have to receive it. Notice what happens here. Look what happens in verse 12. It says, and it happened when he was in a certain city, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus and fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Now notice this, interesting, full of leprosy literally means in the language here, covered in every part, fully permeated, in other words, in the advanced stages. This guy is in bad shape. He is the worst of the worst in society, and the disease he's got is the worst of worst diseases. Completely down the road as far as this thing can go. And as I said, possibly already missing body parts. He's a man who no doubt has lost hope. He's slowly dying. He's full of leprosy. He's in depression. He's probably ready just to hang it up. You know what? That's it. I'm done. Life's over. There's really no reason to go on any further. But notice this, what it says. It says, then he saw Jesus. Guys, note that. He saw Jesus. That's key here. Because the most important thing in this man's life and the most important thing for your life, if you this morning are one of those that feel hopeless, whatever the case might be, is that you see Jesus. Isn't it easy to quit seeing the Lord when we get hopeless? Why is it when we get hopeless that everything gets so dark and everything gets so black? Let me say this. Christians get depressed. As a matter of fact, I want to say this. If you're a Christian and you've never been depressed, prepare yourself. Because we're in a spiritual battle. Now, I'm not going to say that I was never depressed. I can't remember my life before the Lord enough to know if there were ever any depression moments. Certainly, I'm sure I was down. Every person gets down. But I never had extended periods of depression until, note this, until salvation. I never had extended periods of depression until I came to Christ. I have those now from time to time. And I go, what's different? Why was I unsaved, never depressed? And I got saved, and now all of a sudden I find myself sometimes feeling so dark, so heavy, so weighed down, maybe even sometimes temporarily hopeless. Why? You know why? Because we're in a spiritual battle. And the Bible says that Jesus comes to give life and give life more abundant. But on the other side, the Bible says that Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. You've got life in Christ, he wants to kill it. Lord gives you joy, he wants to steal it. The Lord builds you up, he wants to destroy you. That's part of the game. That's how it works, guys. It's just a reality. But the good news is this, whenever that happens in my life, whenever I get my eyes back on Jesus, guess what happens? The joy comes back. It's getting my eyes back on the Lord. You see, whenever we as Christians begin to fall away, whenever we as Christians begin to panic, whenever we begin to have our anxiety attacks and whatever the situation of our life might be, and yes, Christians have them because of the spiritual battle, what do? We get our eyes on the Lord. I suggest a good dose of worship. The Bible says that worship brings joy to our life, that worship brings our heart and lifts us. So oftentimes what happens to me in those situations is I pop in a CD and I get alone somewhere and I praise and worship the Lord. And I don't tell you that to tell you what I do in my quiet time. I tell you that so that you might know what to do when those moments hit you. Because if they hit your pastor, it's going to hit you too. That's just life. That's just part of it. And so as we have this hopelessness or whatever the feelings that come over us, we begin to seek the Lord. We begin to praise. You see, this guy, what he did, he had it caught. He got his eyes on Jesus. He saw Jesus. This morning, I want to say this. If you're seeing darkness, if you're seeing hopelessness, if you're seeing depression, let the Lord lift your chin. Get your eyes back on the Lord. Get your eyes on him. And it's interesting. The word here doesn't mean he just saw us in the sense of, hey, look, there's Jesus. It means to perceive. Get that. It means, let me add to this, with understanding. What it means is he not only saw Jesus, but he saw what Jesus was able to do for him, and he knew he needed him. He said, I've got a need here, and I see Jesus, but I understand that Jesus has the ability and the power now to touch me and to help me. It's not just, oh, there's Jesus. I went to church. We studied the Bible. The guy talked about Jesus. I saw Jesus today. No, it's where you come in and sit down and say, I perceived him today. I felt him. I realized the senses. The Lord is here, and right now he's looking at my heart, and he's speaking to my heart, and he's turning my eyes back up to him, and I need my eyes turned to him. Lord, have your way. You ever been there? Lord, turn my eyes back to you. I need you. He sees him. He perceives him. He realizes, you know what? I understand who this is. I know that he's, notice he called him Lord here. He says, Lord, if you're willing, that means master, ruler. He recognized, I'm talking to someone right now that can help me in my hopeless state. Although I may be abandoned by everyone, although I may feel dark, although I may feel depressed, although I may feel whatever, right now I am perceiving that someone is in my presence that can change my situation, and I'm not going to let it just go by. Now, we can sit here and just let it go by. We can feel that way, and then we can leave and go, well, that was great, that was encouraging, but you don't know what I'm going through. Or we can say, you know what? Jesus knows what I'm going through. You don't, Pastor, but Jesus does. And you know what? When that man got his eyes on you and perceived who it was, he received a touch, and he received strengthening and a cleansing from the Lord. And you talk about joy. This is a man that lived with joy. And again, I'm getting a hold of myself. Or rather, getting a hold of myself. I need to. I'm getting ahead of myself. Guys, when you see Jesus, listen, you're not just seeing the Son of God. You're seeing God. What did Jesus say? He said, Philip, if you've seen the Father, he said, if you've seen me, what? You've seen the Father. I am God. Do you believe that I can touch your situation right now? Now, let me say this. When the Lord touches our situation, he does it in two ways. We see today a physical healing, and we're going to talk about there's different kinds of healings the Lord does, spiritual, emotional, mental, psychological, which again goes along with mental, whatever the case might be. There's emotions and feelings that go along with that and different healings that go along with that. But understand that when the Lord touches us, he's got the ability to meet whatever need we have. Sometimes he completely removes it. Sometimes he says, I'm going to give you grace. Now, I like this kind. I like the kind where he says, I'm removing it. It's done. You're done. Test over. Trial over. You're lifted. That's it. That's the kind I like. But the reality is sometimes God says, like he did to Paul, who said, Lord, I have this thorn in the flesh. Please take it away from me. What did the Lord say to him? Paul, yeah. You're going to heal me, right, Lord? See, I knew you'd answer me, Lord. I'm crying out. I knew you'd answer me. I'm ready for the healing. Paul, yes, Lord, yes. My grace is sufficient. No, Lord, no. Heal me. Touch me. God knows what he's doing. And I'm convinced when God allows us to go through those things where he says, I'm not going to lift that from you right now, but I'm going to give you grace so you can make it. Listen, he's doing it to refine us. The Lord's just saying, I want to change you. I want to make you like me. I want you to enter the kingdom and really not notice that much of a change. Wouldn't it be great? You know, you just kind of, you pass from this body and just kind of enter the kingdom and, hey, wow, and there's not that big of a change. Now, I know there will be a change. I know there'll be a huge change. But how much better to let God change us and develop us here than to wait for the big metamorphosis there? It's like, Lord, work in my life. And so God comes to him and he sees him. He realizes that, you know what, I'm hopeless. But notice the next thing this hopeless person does after he perceives who Jesus is, he falls to his feet and ask for mercy and help. Because it's not enough to realize that you have a need. If you're here today and saying, okay, I'm the guy, you've got me, I'm the one that has the need. You're talking right to me today. God, Spirit, right now is ministering to me. I realize I'm the one. That's not enough. You can't stop there. You have the next step, and that is now you've got to go to the Lord in your heart, and you've got to bow down, and maybe even later on your knees, and even here if you want to. I don't care. You need to go before the Lord, and you need to fall down and say, I need help. Lord, please touch me. I get my eyes back on you. Whatever my situation is that makes me feel leprous to society, I need a touch from you. And the Lord says, I'll give you that, but you've got to ask. You know, it's interesting. The Lord doesn't force himself on anybody. Sometimes God just chooses to touch our life without us asking. But guys, most of the time, God says, you know what? Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. Ask and it will be given. What does it say in James? He says, you have not because you ask not. Exactly. He says, you know you have the need. He says, you need to ask. He says, I'm not going to force you, but you know, I want you to do it. Notice also it says he implored him. The word here implored means begged. He begged him. This guy was desperate. I mean, his body is literally decaying and falling apart. His life's over. He's probably hadn't touched his wife and kids, if he had them, and probably did in that society. It was very normally, maybe for years with this thing being so advanced. He has nothing to live for. He feels that God's abandoned him. He doesn't have his family. What's there to live for? Life's over. He's checking out, so to speak. But notice he begs him, Lord, please. Listen, we don't have to beg the Lord. He did, and that's fine. We can beg him. I understand that. If I'd been in that place, I would have begged as well. But all we have to do is simply ask. Now, why did he beg? I think the reason he begged is he said, you know what? I don't know that he wants to heal me. It's interesting in the language here. He says, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. The language reveals that he was saying this. Lord, if you desire, I know you have the power to do it. See, it wasn't a question. He wasn't saying, if you have the power, Lord, if you have the ability right now today to touch me and to change my life, then you'll do that. He wasn't saying that. What he was saying was, I know you have the power. As a matter of fact, the word he uses there is dunamis, that you can make me clean. It's where we get the word dynamite. What he's saying is, Jesus, I know that you've got the dynamite. You've got the explosive power right now to touch my life and change it. That's not a question. And I've called you Lord. But you know, I'm not sure you want to heal me because I've been this way a long time. And you know what? After all, I'm pretty loathsome. I stink pretty bad. I've been rejected by everyone else. Why would you accept me? After all, is not leprosy a curse from God? Are you not God's representative? Certainly you're going to reject me as well. No, not the Lord. But now you understand why he's saying this. Why is he saying, Lord, you know, if you're willing, you can heal me. He knew that he could, but he didn't know that he wanted to. But notice Jesus' response. Here's what I love this. Verse 13, then he put out his hand and he touched him. By the way, if you touched a leper, two things happened in that society. First of all, you were Levitically or ceremonially, according to the Jewish religion, unclean. You were now unclean. You had to go through this ritual to be clean again. Number two, you might catch leprosy. But you see, with Jesus touches the untouchable. And Jesus reaches out and touches this untouchable man. And notice what he says here. He says, I'm willing. Literally in the language, it means, I desire to. He said, do you desire to heal me, Lord? You can if you desire. He said, guess what? I desire to be cleansed. How exciting. Can you imagine his heart at this moment? Suddenly your skin begins to just, you know, go back to normal. Ears, come on, no, I don't know what happened. I don't know. It says advanced stages of leprosy. I don't know how bad the guy was, but he was advanced. And all of a sudden the Lord touches him and his skin's like a baby's. It's like, I'm healed. I'm completely done. I mean, it's all over. He says, you know what? I'm willing to be cleansed. And immediately, notice this, immediately the leprosy left him. A couple things to note here. Number one, he says, I am willing. As we said, literally it means I am desiring. Listen, if you're questioning, does the Lord want to touch me today? I mean, I know that he touches other people and I've heard the stories and the testimonies are great, but what about me? And I'm not talking about maybe it might be a physical condition. God doesn't heal everybody. He's the one that chooses who he's going to heal and who he's not going to heal. But I know that he does still heal today, and it behooves us to ask. Now, that's just one area. We think physical because we typically think temporary and fleshly. That's how we work. Let me ask you this. Is God more concerned about the temporary and fleshly or the eternal? God's more concerned with the eternal. We're more concerned about long run. You know, our kids, they want to eat the candy before supper because they're more concerned about the temporary. They want that instant pleasure. They want that gratification. They want the candy now. We as parents say, you know what? Let's wait until we eat and then you can have some dessert. For them, it's forever. Maybe God's this morning, you're wanting some dessert in the sense of, God, you know what? I want right now what I want right now. And God's saying, you know what? You need dinner first. You need preparation. You need to grow and mature in what I'm doing in your life. Don't worry, dessert's coming. And even if you don't get healed down here in whatever area it might be, physically, mentally, spiritually, whatever, I will give you grace. And there's a healing coming on the day you step into the kingdom. You're not going to believe. So the Lord does indeed heal, but he does it in his timing and in his way. Sometimes he chooses to heal down here. Sometimes he chooses to wait and heal up there. But here's what we need to grasp out of this. Notice what he said. Hey, do you desire to, Lord? He said, I desire. The question I want to answer for you today is, does the Lord desire to touch you today? The answer is yes. I don't know how. Maybe in an immediate healing of some type, maybe in grace, maybe in mercy, but I know this. If you ask him, Lord, I know you can. Will you? He will. And again, I'm encouraged by this man, the same way I was with the other man who had the son who was demon-possessed. He said, Lord, he said, do you believe I can heal your son? If you believe, all things are possible. He said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. In other words, I believe, but there's still some doubt there. And maybe this morning you're there saying, you know what, Lord, I believe, but there's still some doubt there. Listen, you ask him, he'll still be faithful to touch you because he's faithful to do this. He says, I do desire, I want to do this. And he didn't just touch him, he literally grasped him. He grabbed a hold of him. Can you imagine probably how long it had been since this leper felt the touch of anyone, much less God? Maybe you're here today and saying, you know what, I don't feel that I've been touched by anyone in forever either. Oh, maybe physically. Maybe you've shaken a hand, maybe you've gotten a hug, but nobody's really touched you in a long time. You feel alone. You feel lonely, you feel hopeless, whatever the case might be. Again, who touches the untouchable? Maybe you feel like you don't deserve to be touched. You know, God doesn't deserve to clean me. He doesn't deserve to heal me. I won't even ask him. Listen, you need to ask, because when the leper asked, what did he say? I'm willing. Be cleansed. The Lord desires to touch you. It's not just certain people that he picks out he wants to touch. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe would not perish but have eternal life. And so again, anyone that desires to be touched, he'll do it. Amazing too here, it's in the present tense, which means he still desires to do it today. There's a tense in the Greek called the present tense, oftentimes used in what is called historical presence. And what it means is this, he not only touched him then, but he's still touching him today. Now, obviously, the Lord is not still touching that man today, but I believe the Holy Spirit is making a point even through that tense, and that is this, even as I touched that man back then, and even as it carries on in the Greek language through the grammar and the tense voice and mood, today, I will touch you the same way I touched him. There's not a time limit on me. What did Jesus say? I'm the same yesterday, today, and then stopped. I am the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's the same today, and he's the same here to touch us. And also, guys, notice this again. It says when he touched him, immediately he was changed. You don't have to wait for it to sink in. You just have to mean it from your heart and say, Lord, I need a touch. Please touch me. And the Lord says, I desire to do it. I will touch you. And he touched him. And watch what happens. Now, this is amazing to me. This is quite the request. Now, God gives us lots of commands. This one is amazing. And he charged him, literally the language, he commanded him to tell no one. But go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. Now get the picture. Here's a guy that's in the advanced stages of leprosy. He's been ostracized. He's been put out by his own family and kids. Again, if he had them, his own society, his own people. He feels the most loathsome of diseases you could have. He feels the most rejected. His body stinks. It's falling off. Things are decaying. God has turned against him. Everybody's against him. Jesus comes up. He says, what have I got to lose? I'm going to ask, will you touch me? Would you heal me? The Lord says, be cleansed. All of a sudden, he's cleansed. And God says, no, don't tell anybody. Think about it. I mean, if his fingers did come back, pop, 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 I don't know what happened. Don't tell anybody. What do you mean, don't tell anybody? I can, okay, you're not going to believe what happened. I can't tell you. You know, it's like, can you imagine? I mean, this was quite the request. Why would the Lord ask him to do that? It wasn't so much that God didn't want him to share and be a witness. God did want him to share and be a witness. And listen, once we get touched by the Lord, what does the Lord say do? Go and be a witness. So we're called to go and be a witness. The Lord had a greater purpose. He said, you know what? You can run off through the valley and start talking to all the people around you, and that's going to spread. Or you can do what the Bible says to do and go down to the priest, which the whole nation will find out about, and we can reach a country. You see, the Lord had a lot bigger picture here than the leper did. The leper, I'm sure, certainly, it tells us, I believe it's in Mark and the other Gospels, that he wasn't quiet about it. And I can't blame him. He directly disobeyed a command of the Lord. It tells us in the other Gospels that he went out and spread it anyway. And yet, I'm going, how in the world could you, almost, how could you not? I mean, it would have just been an amazing feat, almost more of a miracle not to tell. Because of what had happened. But why did Jesus do this? Because I submit to you today that the Lord not only wants to reach those who know they have a need, but Jesus wants to touch those today who don't know. You see, the priests of that day didn't even know they had a need. They thought they were fine with God. I'm okay. I go to church. I'm at temple every Saturday. For crying out loud, I'm a priest. I'm the pastor. Certainly as a pastor, I know the Lord. I don't need anything and blah, 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 you know, whatever case might be. But Jesus knew that they didn't know him. Jesus knew that they were deceived. Jesus loved them. And so he said, you know what? I'm going to do something that's so amazing, not only to you, but it's going to be so convicting to those priests. And so corner those priests in where they are that they're going to have to admit something amazing has happened and that I'm not just an ordinary guy. And so he did this amazing miracle. Now, why is this so amazing? Well, because we have to realize there were only two or three people that we know of that were ever healed of leprosy in scripture. Actually, more than that. The Lord healed several when he was around. But prior to the Lord, two or three is all that were healed. And then those that were healed in the Lord's day. But nowhere do we know of in scripture that anyone had been commanded and or obeyed to go to the priest for the set aside ritual for the cleansing of the leper. You see, there was a ritual set aside. That was something that the priest had to do. Whenever someone was cured of this incurable disease, they had to go to the priest and go through this certain ritual. How many people do you think went to the priest for that? I mean, it's incurable. It would be like saying today there's a certain ceremony that we do here at Calvary Chapel for everybody that's cured of AIDS. And so everyone who's cured of AIDS, come to Calvary Chapel. We have this certain ceremony that we do once you're cleansed. How many people do you think would show up? I'm not saying God can't heal it, because he can. What I'm saying is that we don't see that. And so the same thing was true with leprosy. Yes, God could heal it. God made provision for that healing. But the bottom line is nobody ever really saw that. And so now he says, look, you don't tell anybody. I know that's going to drive you crazy, but you get down there, show yourself to the priest. Why? Because I love those people that don't even know they have a need. They don't even realize they need to be saved. They think they're fine with God, just like I did for 25 years. Going to church every week. My dad was a pastor, and yet I was lost as could be. I knew the Christian lingo. I knew the religious bit. I was there. I could sing the hymns, but I did not know Jesus Christ. Jesus saw me and realized that guy doesn't know he has a need. Now, the other guy knows he has a need. That guy doesn't know he has a need, so I'm going to show him he has a need. And God worked my life out in such a way that showed me I have a need. And when I saw that need, that's when the Lord said, all right, now you know who can fill that need. I can fill that need. See, here's what's happening. Some of you guys today may be saying, you know what? I see a need right now in my life. I'm just like that leper. I'm that person. I have that need. I know I need it. But some of you are today saying, you know what? I think I'm okay. And I don't really know that I have a relationship, or I don't really hear him talk to me. And I don't really talk to him. And I think I know him, but I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Probably I will, because I'm pretty nice and I'm nicer than that guy. You know? Whatever the case might be, but you don't have that assurance in your heart. Listen, the Bible says if you know the Lord, you have that assurance in your heart. And so what I would say to you today is if you don't know in your heart, you have that assurance. Hey, it may be that the Lord's touching you today for a different reason. Yes, for others healing, but for you to say, you know what? I'm showing you that you've got a need. And for the first time, it's hitting you. Wait a minute. I've got a need. I didn't realize I had a need. I'm a pretty nice person. I mean, I've got the bumper sticker on my car that says born okay the first time. I don't know if you've seen those or not. See, this priest would have had on his camel's bumper sticker. Born okay the first time. Because he didn't know he needed to be born again. He thought he was okay. He was a pastor, for crying out loud. And so now all of a sudden Jesus says, I'm going to reach the unsaved, even the unsaved pastor. I'm going to reach the unsaved, even the unsaved person who thinks they're doing okay. I'm going to reach them because I love them. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do an amazing miracle. I'm going to cure you of something that nobody else is cured of. And now here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in Leviticus 14, there's a ritual that you've got to do. I'm going to send you down to the priest and make them do it. And they're going to have to go through this ritual. And how would you deny it? Now, I want to look at that ritual, guys, as we picture the scene today. Turn back to Leviticus 14. As we wrap up today, I want to look at that ritual. Because I want you to see exactly what happened here in Leviticus 14. The Lord has cornered these priests. There's no way out. If they don't do what the Bible says, they're being disobedient to the word of God, and then everyone will realize they're phonies. Everyone will realize they're a fake. If they do it, they're going to be saying, wait a minute, this Jesus Christ is somebody special. We'll be legitimizing his ministry. We're going to be legitimizing his power. We're going to be acknowledging that he is. Here's where they are. They're standing down there, and this man, I can imagine, when he finally does get down there to the priest, probably skipping and hopping and bebopping all the way down there to Jerusalem from Galilee, he shows up at the front door of the church. You know what I'm saying? And there it is, the priest coming. Hey, guess what? Yes, I need the cleansing of a leper. What? I used to be a leper. I'm not anymore. I need you to go through the ritual of cleansing. What do you mean the cleansing of? What do you mean you're a leper? There's no cure for leprosy. Oh, you're right. There isn't, but there's this man by the name of Jesus, and he touched me and I'm healed. Now, they've got a dilemma. This is a real dilemma because they hate Jesus. They reject Jesus. They don't acknowledge him as the Lord. And they've said that if anyone does acknowledge him, they're going to be kicked out of the temple. They ended up saying that at some point, out of society, if you will, ostracized, disfellowshipped from the church, if you will. And yet now this guy shows up at the front door and says, you know what, according to Leviticus 14, there's something you guys have to do right here. And I want you to do it for me. First of all, they had to discuss, what do we do? And I'm sure they probably realize we've got to do it, or the people are going to realize that we're fake and phony and disobeying the word of God. And it's Jesus said, go and do it as Moses commanded. They bragged that they followed Moses. And now they've got to go through this ritual. But notice what this does. And we're going to read through it quickly. But guys, as they went through this ritual, now they're having to face Jesus face to face. They'd never had to face him. He's a long way off. Forget about him other than the problems that he causes. Now he sends someone to them that has to be Levitically clean. And notice what the Lord, in cornering these men that he loved, that didn't even acknowledge they had a need, notice what he made them do. Here's what it says. And by the way, they'd never done this. Remember, there weren't lepers getting healed. It would be like, okay, I've been trained in that area, but it's the first time, okay, do it. No, but how do you do it? They probably had to go back and read Leviticus 14 and say, all right, what do we do? And when do we do that? And what do you mean dip this? And they had to figure out how to do this thing. This was not a normal ritual. Notice what happens. Then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, this shall be the law of the leper for the day of his cleansing. I love it. Even though it's incurable, the Lord made the provision. He knew what he was going to do. He's to be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall look at it. And indeed, if it's leprosy, the leper's healed. So he had to walk outside the camp with this guy. All right, well, let me look at you. Then the priest shall command to take for him who is to be cleansed, two living clean birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it and the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop and dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle it seven times on him who is to be cleansed from leprosy, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose in the open field. Now I want to stop for a second. Notice what's happening. You had to take these two clean birds, these two doves. You had to kill one as a substitute for the other. And by its blood, the one that was healed was now cleansed. You had to take a piece of wood. You had to take a piece of scarlet, and you had to take hyssop and dip the bird and all these things down in this water and then release the bird out into the field. Guys, what a picture of Jesus Christ on the cross, on the wood, the Holy Spirit overseeing the hyssop, remember, they used to lift up the drink to him on the cross, the scarlet and the blood and all the representation that's there. These priests are having to do this before they even know what they're doing. And the Lord is confronting them with the gospel. They don't even know what's happening, but he said, I want there to be a witness, because there's going to be days down the road, they're going to see me hanging on the cross and say, ah, look at you. Save yourself if you're the Messiah. Hanging on wood. Blood, scarlet. Somebody gave him something in hyssop. Sacrifice, dove, blood for the other. Somebody got here. See how faithful God is? See, oftentimes it takes a while for the heart of heart to respond. The Lord is already working on this. Notice, he is to be cleansed, shall wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, wash himself in water that he may be clean. After that, he shall come into the camp and shall stay outside his tent for 7 days. But on the seventh day, so again, he has to go back out now for 7 days to be looked at again. So think about this 7 days for a minute. The priest goes through all this. They do the bird. It flies away. And then they go, all right, good. We're done with this. Let's forget the Jesus thing. Oh, yeah, 7 more days. Okay, go out there and wait for 7 days. We'll look at you again. Everybody in the nation's hearing about this. Do you hear what happened in Jerusalem? What? Some guy got healed of leprosy. You're kidding. No, the priests are having to do that whole ceremony. They've never done that in the history of the church, as far as we know. And they're going through. What happened? Some guy, some carpenter up in Nazareth touched him. Some guy in Galilee. Can you imagine the stir? Now you know why Jesus said, go to the priest. Because not only would it spread across the nation, but now the priests are being witnessed to as well. Amazing. And these guys have to sit down now for 7 days and mull on this. Day one, you say, what do we do with this guy? Day two, day three, everybody's talking about it. Well, we'll see in 7 days. And all of a sudden, this whole thing. Look at the end of the 7 days. On the seventh day, he shall shave off all his hair on his head, his beard, his eyebrows, and all the hair he shall shave off. He shall wash his clothes and wash his body in water, and he shall be clean. On the eighth day, he shall take 2 male lambs without blemish, 1 ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, 3/10 of an ephah, a fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, and 1 log of oil. Then the priest who makes him clean shall present the man. He's got to walk with the guy. Here he is, the one that Jesus healed. Imagine this. This is quite the senior. They hated Jesus' guts. Who is the one is to be made clean, had to bring him before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And notice this, the priest shall take a male lamb and offer it as a trespass offering with a log of oil, a wave of them. He shall wave it before the Lord. Then he shall kill the lamb in the place where he kills the sin offering and the burnt offering in the holy place. So he has to now do these other offerings, these sacrifices for this miracle Jesus has done as a sin offering. It is for the priest. So is the trespass offering. It is most holy. And guys, note this. What they would do is they would sacrifice the sin offering and the trespass offering, and then they would have to sit down afterwards and take a portion of it and eat it. What's my point? Jesus bugged these guys for a long time on witnessing to them. Not only did they have to acknowledge that some amazing miracle took place, not only did they have to go through this whole ritual, not only after they did that, did they have to put the guy away for 7 days and bring him back on the eighth day, now they had to do more sacrifices, and they had to take the sacrifices that were made for this man because of his healing by this Jesus, and they had to sit down and eat it. And the eating of the trespass and sin offering represented fellowship with God. Remember, Jesus said, "Unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no part in me." And so in type, they were taking in the Lord. They were having fellowship with what? The Lamb. And now they realize John the Baptist, who said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." This was no ordinary situation these guys had to face. Now, why do I bring this up? We'll flip back and we'll finish up in verse 15. I hope you kept your finger there. If not, just flip right back to Luke 15 and look at the last verse, what it says as we wrap this whole thing up. They had done this whole process. I'm sorry, Luke 5, I said 15. I apologize. Luke 5, verse 15. It says, "Then the report went all around concerning him, all the more, I'll bet. And great multitudes came together to hear, and to be healed of him by their infirmities." Guys, let's wrap it up with this. Leprosy in Scripture is a picture of sin. Leprosy, if you will, as some theologians would say, is actually a type of sin. And you see, having physical leprosy, yes, physical leprosy is bad. Physical leprosy destroys the body. But you see, even as physical leprosy destroys the body, sin leprosy, the leprosy of sin in our life, destroys our body as well. It's interesting. How so? Well, sin is incurable. Again, it's only removed by the blood of Jesus. Sin is gradually progressive. It gets worse as time goes by, unless, again, the Lord touches us. Sin starts out oftentimes hardly noticeable, but in its advanced stages is extremely loathsome to the one who has it, as well as those around him. Sin gradually destroys the spiritual nerve endings and the feelings that we have for right and wrong. Sin causes and can cause severe depression, emotional and mental instability that leads to helplessness and hopelessness. And maybe you're saying, "That's me. I didn't realize it, but I'm a leper today. Oh, I don't have the physical leprosy, but I am a leper. I have a need." And maybe you're even in that camp going, "Not only do I realize I'm a need or have leprosy, I'm full of leprosy. I mean, nobody around me knows it, but I am eaten up with leprosy from head to toe. I've got so much sin in my life, you wouldn't believe it. I can't believe I even came today. I'm here and I'm pretending I'm not leaving." But whatever the case might be, whatever it might be, the Lord is saying, "You know what? Listen, he's here to touch you today and to heal you." And you might be the one thinking, "But you know, you don't understand me. I've done too much. I'm too loathsome." Even as this man thought nobody would want to touch him in his leprosy, I'm sure that there may be those that think nobody wants to touch me in my sin because my condition is so bad. Not true. The Lord is here in power. As the man said, "Are you willing? Do you desire?" He said, "I'm willing. I desire. I'll touch you today." And I just want to say, if that's you, if you are the leper, let him touch you today. Let him touch you. But you've got to ask him. You've got to say, "Lord, come into my life. Lord, touch my life. Lord, heal me of this sin of leprosy that has made me numb, that has made my life stink, that has made me rotten and ostracized, whatever the case might be. I need a touch from you. I need to be healed. I want to be brought back into the camp of God. I'm on the outside right now. I want to be in," whether it's a backsliding Christian or whether it's somebody who's never come to the Lord for the first time. But I also want to say this. Maybe you're the one that didn't even know you had a need until today. I don't know. Maybe you didn't even realize it. You're thinking, "I'm fine. I'm doing okay. I've gone to church. I'm doing fine. I don't need anything." But today, all of a sudden, something's happened in your heart. Your heart started beating, and God spoke to you and said, "You know what? You're not okay. You're a leper. Oh, you think you're okay? You've gone to church your whole life. Maybe even you said a prayer, but you didn't say it with your heart. You said it with your lips because you were afraid of going to hell. Now I want you to say something from your heart, and I want you to mean it, because you know what? Listen, the Bible says all of us have a need. What does Romans say? Every one of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, every one of us. There's not one person in this room that is guilt-free. There's not anybody in this room that has not committed sin. Some are forgiven. There may be some that aren't. I hope all of you are. Maybe everyone in this room knows the Lord today. But if you don't, whether you're the one that says, "Look, I realize today I have a need. I realize I'm a leper." Or whether you're in the other camp saying, "I didn't realize I was a spiritual leper, but I do realize that now. I need Jesus to touch my life. I want to cry out to Jesus. I want the Lord to touch me. I want to give him an opportunity to do that right now." Why don't we pray? Father, you are the healer, Lord, of our leprosy. And Lord, not just physical healing, which is important. Lord, maybe there's somebody here today who says, "You know what? I do feel hopeless. I'm the person that Pastor Mark was talking about today. I'm the one, and I need that healing. I need that touch of the Lord in my life." And Lord, maybe it's a believer. And they just need healing, physical, mental, spiritual, whatever it might be. Lord, right now, I just pray that you would move in their hearts to cry out to you, to ask for that healing, because you're here to touch them. Lord, you do desire. You desire to touch them. But Lord, there's also maybe some here today that realize for the first time that they do have sin, that they've not been cleansed. And they need that cleansing from you. Lord, they know. They realize, you know what? I know I've got a need. I know that the need is there. I just needed somebody to tell me what to do. Lord, right now, I just pray they would cry out to you and ask forgiveness of their sin and ask you into their heart. And Lord, then there's very possibly even that other category here today. Lord, some that maybe don't even realize they have a need. They don't even know they need it. They think they're fine. Everything's okay. What need could I possibly have? I go to church. I do all that stuff. But Lord, today, by your Holy Spirit, you've spoken to them and said, no, you're a leper and you have a need. And today you need to cry out to Jesus Christ and ask him to forgive you. If there's anybody in here today and says, you know what, I'm that leper in any form and fashion, and I have that need, I want you to pray. You don't have to pray out loud. You can pray in your own heart. But I want you to pray right now with me for the Lord to cleanse you and to make you his own. The prayer is simple, but it's got to be from your heart. Simply pray this. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Lord, I know you died on the cross for me, and I accept your sacrifice. Forgive me, Lord, of my sin. Wash me clean, even like the leper. In Jesus' name, amen.